Continue this series on prayer, looking at prayer from different aspects and different angles. And I'm sure at one point or another, some of these thoughts are basic to you and basic to your thinking, and perhaps you've asked these questions over and over again, and the practicality of prayer and of communing with God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, and I'm reading from verses 46 through to 52. And then they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that is, that I may receive my sight." And then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Lord, I pray today that your word would saturate our hearts and minds so that we might learn how to ask in faith, believing, and so glorify your name. Amen. One day Jesus was walking down the road with his disciples. It was just any dusty, dirty road in the area that he lived and in his world at that time, and on his way out of the city of Jericho, when a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus began calling out to him. And he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And the people all around him looked at him and thought that this guy was a little bit out to lunch. And the more they stared at him, the more he cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus all of a sudden stopped. He noticed what was going on in the corner of his eye. And he said, "Call him." And when Bartimaeus approached, he asked him one simple question. "What can I do for you?" That's the JR translation. "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus replied, "I want to see." And then Jesus said something that surprised me the first time I read this story. He said, "Go, for your faith has made you well." Go, your faith has healed you. Now, your faith has healed you? What's this all about? Your faith has healed you. What did Bartimaeus do that showed such amazing faith in this particular situation, in this particular segment of time? He wasn't like the men who tore open the roof of the home where Jesus was teaching so that they could lower a sick friend into the midst where he was, and so that in the presence of Jesus, this sick friend could be healed. He wasn't like the woman who fought through the crowd so she could touch the hem of his garment. And he wasn't like the centurion who came to Jesus and said, "Just say the word from here and my servant will be healed." Nothing like that. When you read this story here in Mark chapter 10, you can't help but wonder, what was this great demonstration of faith that was being exercised at this particular juncture in time? What was this faith that this blind man was exercising? What gave him the the fortitude? What gave him the energy? What gave him the sense of calling out to Jesus even in the first place? There seems like a few lessons here for us this morning. And I know those lessons are, you could probably go on and on, but the story of Bartimaeus receiving his sight teaches us that the act of asking is an act of faith. And it's something we must not overlook. It's something we must not belittle. And it's something that we must not take for granted. I was on an airplane once when I was doing my graduate studies at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And I walked through the first class section. I noticed that there were 6 or 7 empty seats up front in the first class section. And, I can't afford to fly first class. I know you pay a lot more money if you're going to get on an airplane and reserve a first class section so that you can sit up front. But before the takeoff, as the flight attendant was making sure everybody was in their place and secure and everything else, the guy that was sitting next to me across the aisle, all of a sudden in a lowered, subdued voice, mentioned to the flight attendant, "Hey, I noticed there's a lot of empty seats up there in the first class section. And so I'm just wondering if it would be okay to be upgraded to first class." And the flight attendant, without hesitation at all, said, "Of course, yeah, follow me. We'll take you right up. And you can sit first class all the way to Chicago." And so, he got up and moved up. And, I was just that far away from saying, "Well, can I do it too? Can I go up there too?" But I didn't. I chickened out. And I just stayed in my seat, and I, of course, weighed a lot more then, and it was a lot more uncomfortable to sit in an airplane seat than probably what it would be like now. But I just did not ask. I missed an opportunity for sitting in the front seat, or up front in the first class section. Now, I knew there were still 4 or 5 empty seats remaining in first class, but I just couldn't bring myself to asking for a seat. I didn't move myself to the place where I'd ask for that upgrade. And I could imagine the flight attendant saying, "Just because I did it for him, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it for you." That's what I was thinking. But I was kicking myself the whole trip, and I said, I should have asked for that upgrade. The book of James says, "You have not because you ask not." And how true that is in our walk with God. We have not because we ask not. That was certainly true in my case on that particular day. And it's true in many of our lives, day in and day out, because there's a lot of things we will not even ask for, even though God wants us to have it. All Bartimaeus could do was ask to be healed. And that was enough. Because Bartimaeus knew what he wanted, and he knew what to ask for. He was without sight all his life, and so he had no hesitation. Here's one whom he heard of, this Jesus, because Jesus had healed the blind, he had healed the lame, he had healed people that came to him, he had healed many, many people, thousands of people that came to him, and so he has no hesitation but asking for Jesus to heal him of his blindness and give him sight. And so, today as we take a little closer look at that story, I want us to look at how that will open the door for God to answer our prayers as well. Because many times, we just don't have the courage to ask God for some reason. This story teaches us 3 things about how we ask in faith and believing when we ask. We know that God answers us and God hears us. The first thing that we see here in the story of Bartimaeus was that he asked immediately. And we need to ask immediately. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he immediately called out to Christ. And he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. He had no hesitation whatsoever in doing that. If you were to see Jesus walking by here today, would you do the same? If you had an ailment, if you had a sickness, if you had some issue in your life that was really plaguing you and holding you back, and you knew that this one who was walking by had the answer to every problem in your life, would you not call out to him, even as Bartimaeus called out to him? Bartimaeus had no hesitation. And I don't know about how much Bartimaeus knew about Jesus. I don't know how many stories he heard about Jesus and how he healed people in the past. But when Jesus came his way, he made up his mind that he would not let this opportunity go by. He was going to call on him. So he immediately called on the name of Jesus. And he continued to call on the name of Jesus until Jesus heard him from the corner of his earlobe and answered his prayer and gave to him what he needed. Here's the problem we have with prayer. And many, many times we have this problem. It's my problem, and it's probably your problem as well. And that is that sometimes we go to Jesus when it's our last resort. It ought to be our first resort. Sometimes we only pray when it's an emergency. It ought to be the first thing we do. Sometimes we only seek God when we're in a bind and when our backs are against the wall. Bartimaeus called out on Jesus because he was in a bind all his life. He couldn't see. And he knew that Jesus had the answer. He knew that Jesus was the one who could deliver him and heal him. And so he called out to him. It's so much easier to do things on our own, isn't it? It's so much easier to think, well, I've got control of this situation. It's so much easier to think, you know, I can handle this. We can't handle a lot of things. There's a lot of things we can't handle. There's a lot of things we have absolutely no control over. And so instead of using Jesus, and I use that word very guardedly, as our last resort, you know, we ought to call on Jesus first thing. We ought to call on him at any moment of every day. Whenever there's a need, we need to call on Jesus. Because he's there for us. This kind of asking doesn't necessarily demonstrate faith. Asking in faith requires that we ask immediately, that we turn to God as our first resort, not as our last resort. And if you really believe God can help you, he'll be there for you. He'll be there right now. Immediately. And I believe that because I've experienced it. This past week I was having trouble with my computer. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more frustrating when computers start to break down. And I had an issue with my computer. It crashed on me. And I was ready to take that thing and throw it in the garbage. Let me tell you, I was fed up with that computer. And I said, why in the world why were they ever invented? I can't understand. And so I was ready to just do it in and go back to the old manual typewriter. None of you even know what that is, some of you. A manual typewriter. Some of you do. And so I knew of this guy who fixed computers, but I thought, well, you know, maybe if I let it sit for a few hours, it could heal itself. You ever try that? And so I turned the thing back on, and still the same. So I made a phone call, and I got some advice from my brother-in-law. I said, what are you going to do in this situation? He said, I don't know. Well, a lot of help you are. And so I knew this guy who fixed computers, and that's what he does for a living. And he was my last resort. But I finally gave him a call, and I said, can I bring this monster over to you and see if you can figure this sick baby out? And so I took it over to him. He kept it in the shop a couple of days, and finally I got it back last night at about 7 o'clock, and it was fine. And so he was a situation where the last resort was to call Jimmy, who knew all about it. I should have called him first. I should have taken the thing right over there and let him fix it rather than go through what I did. But instead, it was the last resort. And so many times, that's the way it is in our relationship with God. He's our last resort. And that's not what it ought to be. You see, when we don't call on God first, we're really demonstrating a lack of faith. It's a foolish lack of faith, because I believe that my God can help me in whatever situation I'm in whatever bind I'm in whatever problem I'm in, because He's there for me. Now, I preach that, and I believe it, but it's so tough so many times to put it into practice. It's so tough so many times just, oh yeah, you know, this is practical Christianity here. And it's so tough just to be reminded of that sometimes. We think we got it all under control. And if you want to receive anything from God, the story of Bartimaeus teaches us to call on God immediately. Not 10 minutes down the road, not 2 days down the road, not as the last resort, but we're to call on Him immediately. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Right? He says, seek and you will find. What else does He say? Knock and the door will be open to you. And so there are three verbs here. The verb of ask, asking, seeking, and knocking. Those are action items. Those are action verbs which demands a response, demands an action on our part. I mean, we can't just expect things to happen if we twiddle our thumbs. There has to be action taken. And it has to be something done to the glory of God. So that's the first thing, we're to ask immediately. The second thing is that we're to ask defiantly. That's the second thing that Bartimaeus did. He asked God defiant, with a defiant attitude. Defiantly, yes. Here's what I mean. You see, when Bartimaeus began calling out to Jesus, the Bible says this in verse number 48. Look at the verse where it says. It says that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Son of David, he said, have mercy on me. Now, the people surrounding Bartimaeus decided it was their job to keep him in their place. So their objective was to keep him in line and subdued. After all, he's just a blind beggar. After all, he's really not a significant person. Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords walking through here. And to have someone inconvenience Jesus during such an important time as this would be a little bit, well, would not really be that politically correct, I suppose, for him to interrupt. And so, in other words, the crowds were saying, this blind Bartimaeus, he needs to keep his mouth shut. He needs to be kept in his place. And that's what they tried to get him to do. But he didn't care what the crowd said. He didn't care what the mood of the crowd was. All he wanted was to get the attention of Jesus, and he defied the crowd, and he called out to Jesus anyway. Sometimes when we pray, it means that we have to be defiant. We have to be defiant about things around us. We have to be defiant about the people around us. We have to be defiant about the situations that we're wrapped up in. And I want you to realize that there are some risks involved in this. First of all, Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was just a poor, simple, humble beggar. and the people around him were the ones he begged from. And so if he antagonized them, they might decide not to give him any more ever again. If he really ticked them off, then that may be the end of Bartimaeus' begging career. And secondly, what if Jesus ignored him? There's the risk there as well. What if Jesus ignored him? And what if he just walked by without even acknowledging Bartimaeus? What if that were to happen? Wouldn't Bartimaeus have looked foolish? Wouldn't everyone there in that particular place, in that situation, everyone would have said, "See, I told you so, he's just a beggar." Why would Jesus, the Son of God, want to give him any due attention at this time? And so, Bartimaeus, yeah, those were risks. Those were possibilities. They were as possible as anything else. But Bartimaeus decided it was worth the risk. It was worth it all. And it didn't matter what people said. It didn't matter what people thought. It didn't matter what people's opinions were. He wasn't about to let Jesus walk by and at least try to get his attention. Now, if you were in Bartimaeus' shoes, I suppose, I don't know about myself, but I guess I would have tried to get his attention no matter what. And I would have taken those risks. And his attitude was, maybe you can stand there and let the King of Kings pass by you, but I can't. Because he says, Bartimaeus is saying, I want to experience God's power in my life. You know, I believe that that's something that really hits home here. If we want to experience God's power in our lives, there are certain times that we need to take risks. There are certain times when we just need to invite the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to enter into our hearts in the fullness of his power. You see, when you ask anything of God, you sometimes have to ask in defiance of popular opinion. You have to go against the grain sometimes. Others may try to put you in your place saying, well, what gives you the right to think that God's going to bless you above someone else? There are sick people everywhere. What right do you have to think that God's going to specially reach out to you and heal you of your cancer, or to heal you of your blindness, or to heal you of your sore foot, or whatever it might be? What gives you that right? Well, this world is a world of turmoil. We know that. This world is a place of chaos. And you think that God is concerned about everything else, but as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the same God who created the heavens and the earth and put the stars in place and everything else is the same God who loves you and has a special, who loves you in a special way and would come to this world, even if you were the only person on the face of this earth, he would have come to this world to die for your sin. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. God has your best interest at heart. He has my best interest at heart. And that's an awesome thing. Many of you know Yogi Berra, who was a catcher with the New York Yankees. And I read this story a while back, and I love baseball in the summertime. And try to get to a few games. And one afternoon during a game, a batter stepped into the box and he crossed himself. He was a Roman Catholic faith. And Yogi said, why don't we just play the game and leave God out of this? Okay. Now, you know, I kind of like Yogi Berra, some of the things he said and some of the things he's kind of brought into focus. But that I probably shy away from. I don't think I would stand in that same position that he would have. You see, if you want to experience God's power, if you want to experience God's grace in your life, you have to defy the critics. You have to defy the naysayers. And you have to, you need to ask anyway. You need to ask anyway. So, Two things here we've seen already about Bartimaeus. Number one, he asked Jesus immediately. We need to do the same. Secondly, we need to ask, he asked Jesus defiantly. We need to do the same. The third thing we see here is that Bartimaeus asked Jesus specifically. He asked specifically. When Jesus heard Bartimaeus call him, he stopped and he asked him directly, as we see in verse 51. And this is what the question is here. What do you want me to do for you? Or, you know, when I serve a customer that comes to me at my counter where I work at Cabela's, I ask the question, what can I do for you today? In layman's language, that's exactly the questions being asked. What can I do for you? Jesus asks. And Bartimaeus said, oh boy, can you ever do a lot for me? Oh boy, he says, there's a lot you can do for me today. And so this is the question he's asking you and me today. What can I do for you? What can I do for you today? Bartimaeus didn't hesitate. He just responded and he said, Rabbi, I just want to see. That's all. I just want to be able to have those scales removed from my eyes, and I want to be able to see again. Or I'm not sure if he really saw to begin with anyway. He might have been born blind. But he said, I want to see. And immediately Jesus healed him. And it could be said, I suppose, even though it doesn't say it here, that Bartimaeus probably responded by saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. And that's what happens when we invite Christ into our lives. Once we're blind. We're blind because of sin. We're blind because of darkness. We're blind because of being an alien and a stranger to the grace of God. But now we can see. Jesus has removed the scales from our eyes and has given us new life and new hope and a heaven to go to. And how wonderful that is. Bartimaeus asked Jesus specifically for what the issue was. And, you know, he knew exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly what he wanted. And sometimes we get all confused about what we want because we think we want this, we think we want that. But the most important thing is our relationship with God. He says, I want to see, Bartimaeus said. And we've got to remember that God can't answer a prayer that we're not willing to make, for sure. He can't give what we don't ask for. And if you want something from God, you have to ask specifically for it. And we need to pray specific prayers. I remember having prayer meetings at my church where people would come and pray for general things. And it used to get me a little bit upset. And I'd say, let's pray specifically. Yes, I know that Aunt Dolly has a sore knee. But, you know, what about Aunt Dolly's spiritual needs as well? About her relationship with Christ. We need to pray specifically. We need to pray as a church right here at Bodenham Second Baptist Church. We need to pray with specific prayers. And those specific prayers need to be focused toward God, not towards ourselves. Not towards keeping the lights on and the building open, necessarily, but prayers that engage God by communicating with Him to the point where He will come and visit us anew and afresh by His power and by His might. That's what it's all about. If you want something from God, we need to ask Him. We need to ask Him specifically to revive our hearts. To renew us and to give us a new joy in our relationship with Jesus Christ. To give us a new desire to reach out into the community. To give us a new passion in walking with Him in our daily walk. And a new love for one another as the family of God. We need to ask God for a harvest of souls. Many of you are praying for God's leading in terms of a new pastor. We need to pray specifically for the person God has ordained and God has chosen to be the next pastor of this church. whoever that might be. We need to pray specifically for His blessing, His leading, His guidance, His power, His grace, everything. We need to pray specifically. Bartimaeus prayed specifically. He knew what he wanted. And sometimes we don't know what we want. But Bartimaeus, the other thing is, he asked for it all. He could have asked for a few coins, and Jesus probably would have given them. If he asked for food, Jesus may have delivered him some leftover food that he may have had, or some of his disciples had. But Bartimaeus had the faith to ask for the impossible. He asked for the impossible, and he asked to be able to see. Now, humanly speaking, at that time, that was the impossible, to be able to see, because they didn't have optometrists back then. They didn't have the medical know-how that we have today. He prayed specifically and asked for it all. He went straight out. And I don't see anything wrong with asking God to bless in an unusual way in our own lives, or even in the life of this church. Why not go all out? Why not give it all? Why not pray for the big things? And some people say, well, we don't have the money. We don't have this or that or anything else. So what? Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills too. That's what it is to pray in faith, believing and trusting God. So, you know, praying specifically. Just as Jesus spoke to Bartimaeus on the Jericho Road 2,000 years ago, He wants to speak to you and I today. And He's standing before us asking, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the question is, what's our answer? What's our response? What are we asking for? What are we willing to ask for? Are we willing to ask? And are we willing to keep on asking? Are we willing to ask even if it puts you at risk for looking maybe even a little bit dumb and foolish? Are we willing to ask then? Are we willing to ask for the impossible? When we ask God for anything at all, we demonstrate our faith and our trust in Him. Not in ourselves, but in Him. The size of our faith is revealed by the size of our prayers. Remember that. Write that down. The size of our faith is revealed by the size of our prayers. Like Bartimaeus, ask God immediately and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Forget about what the crowd may say or think. Ask anyway. Ask specifically for what you want, even if it seems impossible. There's a lot of things that seem impossible. There's no reason why we ought not to ask God. We ought to trust Him even more. And that's the kind of faith God rewards those who trust Him. And I love how this whole story ends, the very last verse in verse 52. And it says this: immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He followed Jesus. He went down the road with Jesus. He followed Him. He went where Jesus went. That's what we need to do. When God answers our prayers, when He responds, when we hear Him, and when He speaks to us, and when He intervenes in our lives, we got to follow Him down the road. Bartimaeus' great benefit was being able to follow Jesus. What a privilege that is. What an honor it is for you and I to be able to follow Jesus Christ and to worship Him. What an honor it is. From that day on, Bartimaeus witnessed that, you know, Jesus performing miracles. He witnessed Him touching people's lives. He heard Him teach the crowds that surrounded Him. Jesus performed the impossible for Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus responded with greater love and devotion than he had ever known. God wants to do the same thing in your life today. He wants to do the same thing in my life. He wants to make it possible for us to be devoted, fully devoted followers of Christ. So we don't be afraid to ask, my friend. Don't be afraid to trust Him for what He wants to do. Let's pray. Lord, as we've read this story and as we've shared this story this morning from Your Word, there's just so many possibilities. Lord, we ask that You'd first of all forgive us for not asking in faith. Forgive us, Lord, for using Jesus as a crutch rather than going to Him first thing. Forgive us, Lord, for only calling on Him when there's an emergency rather than being the very first thing. Lord, help us to seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness. Because when we do that, everything will be put in place. Lord, I ask that You would just go with us today. Teach us, Lord, to walk in Your ways. And teach us to trust You no matter what, even as Bartimaeus did. We ask it in His name. Amen. Our final song this morning.